I'm not sure that's worth of an amen, but one of the things that strikes me as I listen to that song, and I listen to all sorts of different stuff, again, it has an amazing beat. Most of you have heard it. Most of you probably knew the words or saw it or recognized it. It was the Jesus Save Me, Blue Jean Baby, born in the USA. Honestly, I like the beat, and for there are some parts of that story that reminds me of growing up. And what's interesting, if you look through the history of churches and culture, all of us who grew up with that song are probably in their 40s or 50s or maybe the beginning of their 60s, and that's literally a generation that sort of walked away from God. But the line that catches me above everything else, and hopefully you noticed it too, it's the Jesus Save Me, and it's a casual attitude toward God. It's a picture of God not relating to any other area of his life. In fact, he says, Jesus Save Me, and then he goes on with the rest of the story about his girlfriend and relationships and what they do on Saturday night, and there's this idea that God is separated from his culture, from his ideas, for his thoughts. It's literally as if he believes Jesus is much more like an EMT, an emergency medical technician. You know, patch you up and get you out without ever having to have any change or transformation or lifestyle struggles. And I truly believe that this is the struggle that we have with passages like Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 15, since we are a people that have very little reference or very little glimmers, and most of us haven't been gripped by the glory of God. We believe that our view and God's view are the same and they're equal. And as Americans, most often we live with the idea that we don't need commandments and we don't need rules and we can do life our own way and God will be just as happy. I wrote in my notes, we don't need no stinking rules. Isn't that sort of the way we think? I can remember talking to Jed, and every so often when he got his license, I can remember he had this problem with stop signs. And basically his rule was no cop, no stop. Couldn't convince him that wasn't a good idea. When we hear, observe the Sabbath, when we hear, don't use the Lord's name in vain, when we hear, don't put any idols before me, we don't hear what God longs for us to hear. When we hear, observe the Sabbath, we hear, well, just go to church. And we begin thinking like that. And for some of you, when you talk to your friends and family members, you say, what do you do Sundays? Well, I'm just going to go to church. And that literally reveals and promotes really, really bad theology. Because the church is a group of living, vibrant gathering of God's people who have come together to be strengthened and then go out to manifest the gospel by their actions. You're never simply going to church. If you walk through the doors today and said, well, I'm just going to go to church, that's not what's happening. You are going to go into a sanctuary such as this and to participate in an order of worship together, and you're going to gather with the people of God, and you're going to gather in community to be nourished in all that we say and do together, so that when we go out into our world, out into our mission field, we will be the church. So when you observe the Sabbath, you're not simply going to church. That's not what God had in mind. He is literally saying, I want you to be a people that you begin to honestly let the Sabbath day be an act of worship. And literally even just coming to church on Sundays is a small part, though an essential one, to the whole meeting of keeping the Sabbath. And what does the scripture say here? It says we're to be a people that we take the Sabbath very seriously. God says observe the Sabbath day, keep it holy as unto the Lord. So we're to be a people that when we gather together, and even if you can't be here on a Sunday, you take the time to observe and remember all that God has done for you. And to keep the Sabbath, it means we recognize the rhythm of God. See, I think for some of us, we don't realize that God actually knew what he was doing. It says, 6 days you will work. You will labor for 6 days. You will take care of all of the things that you were called to take care of. But the one day, on that seventh day, you will cease working. And it is written in the very core of our beings. I talked to someone this morning that simply said, I am just so tired. And almost everyone I talk to has that sense of weariness put upon them. And I think part of it is because as a nation, as a people, we have gotten out of God's rhythm in almost every single place. Keeping the Sabbath is living the pattern of God that he has graciously commanded us to. Keeping the Sabbath is honoring God in a deliberate act of obedience. It's countercultural, yes, but it's the knowledge that God has established the rhythm of life and we are called to be a people that live it and display it and live in the midst of it. And I've entitled this message, God's Love Language. And some of that was is because I was preparing for the ceremony yesterday, and as you begin to talk to couples, do you know that there's love languages that you all have? There's five of them, I think, and you may have to help me here, but some of it's act of service, some of it's physical touch, some of it's words of affirmation. There's two others that have completely slipped my mind right now because they're not my love language, so I don't need to worry about it. But it's really, really funny because Joyce's love language is acts of service. You want to make her happy, you just do little things for her all week. I can remember getting her flowers, and that was like, that's no big deal. Flowers die, you know that. Take out the garbage. That's her love language to some degree. Mine's physical touch, and so, you know, if you don't recognize those things, you know, Joyce is doing all of these great acts of service to me, and I'm like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, well, that works for you. Because most of us do our own love language to the other person and we can't figure out what's going on. Do you realize what God's love language is? Have you ever thought of the fact when it says here in the scriptures to observe the Sabbath, to be obedient is literally God's love language? In fact, if you look at other scriptures, it says this, obedience to God is the evidence of loving him. And he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and who does not love me doesn't keep my word. And so when you read a passage like Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 15, you're at that place where you need to decide, do you want to do God's love language or do you want to go your own way and do your own thing? And for some of you who are sitting there thinking, well, that's the Old Testament, it doesn't affect us, do you realize that this is the second time the commandments were given? And God still says, I long for my people to honor them, not so it will burden them or break them, but so they might have life. So how do you respond to the word of God? When it says to honor him above everything else, no idols or no substitutions, how do we honor his name and not misuse it? How do we become a people of Sabbath rest? How do we love God his way? And so a lot of us get this idea that we're going to sacrifice, and that may not be what God is calling you to do. Part of the reason that the idea of Sabbath and worship is hard for us is because we've made it an event and not a lifestyle. It's a Jesus save me type of world, like that song said, instead of Jesus rule and reign in my life and in every area. It's the idea that Jesus and God, it's an optional idea, it's a good idea, it's if it works and fits in, I'm going to respond to it, but we have a tendency to make it what we want it to be and less about what God wants it to be. And see, I really truly believe that God's view of Sabbath is far different from ours. And so for the next few moments, I want to just give you an idea of what is going on in this passage where it says in verse 12, observe the Sabbath day, keeping it holy as to the Lord. Your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day is a day of Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your maidservant nor your manservant nor your ox or your donkey or other any of your animals, nor the alien or immigrant that's within your gates or your maidservant or manservant, that they may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe a Sabbath day. So for the next few moments, let me share with you what a Sabbath day is from God's point of view. It is literally a day set aside for ceasing, resting, embracing, and feasting. Doesn't that sound like a cool day? Did you hear that? From God's point of view, he says, I want you to be a people that labor and work hard. And he doesn't negotiate the importance of work, but he says, for 6 days, work your tails off. That's sort of a paraphrase. But on the seventh day, that's a day set aside for God. And I want you to be a people that learn how to cease. And I want you to learn how to be a people that rest. And I want you to learn how to be a people that embrace. And I want you to learn how to be a people that feast. See, from God's point of view, it was always about it being a delight, something to enjoy. It was a great thing. And the end result of loving God His way is always refreshment and restoration. So let's just stop for a few seconds and think about what God was speaking to when He said, I want my people to observe the Sabbath. He literally says, I want you to stop. I want you to stop and I want you to honor me. I want you to recognize and acknowledge who God is. I want you to be people that recognize He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He isn't a Jesus save me type of thing. He is the King of Kings. It's all about His. It's about His provision. It's about His rule. It's about His reign. And He says, I want you to take one day out of that whole week and just cease from work and productivity and accomplishment and anxiety and worry and tension and just stop trying to be God and owning your own stuff. And for some of us, as I say those words, this is a difficult thing because we are a culture of busyness. We are a culture of taking care of our own selves. We are a culture who believes, though we'd never said it out loud, we're the little gods who control our ships and the destiny in which we live. And God says, I want my people to take one day, and I want them to acknowledge and recognize that I am the one who provides for them and takes care of them. Just imagine if we took seriously that this would be the one day that we literally stop all that we're doing. We don't have to be productive. We don't have to accomplish things. In fact, most of us live our lives with a list, and if we scratch off all the things we've accomplished, we finally have a right to be a person, don't we? I can remember in Maine, one of my friends was a teacher, and we began to talk about what it was to follow God in the details of our lives, and she said one of the hardest things for her to do as a teacher, she always looked at Sunday as the day she corrected papers. How many of you teachers have ever thought, that's the one day, it's quiet, you can do it? And she said, God came to confront me on that and said, I don't want you to correct papers on Sunday. I want that to be a day of rest. I don't want you to do anything involved with school. And she spoke to God, and she would talk about it almost on a quarterly basis. I would say, God, you don't understand. I take teaching seriously. There's no way I can give it up. And He said, give it up. And she gave it up. And you know what she said? God gave her more hours. She had lots more time. The correcting got done on a different day. She was ceasing from work, from being productive, from accomplishment, anxiety, worry, tension, trying to be God, owning our own stuff, the busyness of our culture. We need one day that says, you know what, we're going to honor God and recognize that as He is the one who provides for us. So He says, I want my people to cease doing all that they're doing. I want my people to learn what it is to rest, spiritual rest and physical rest and emotional rest and intellectual rest. I mean, if I really wanted to challenge you and get some of you upset, how about this? What would happen if you turned off your computer? What would happen if you turned off your phone? Some of you are getting a little jittery at that point. Turn off your phone. I mean, it's interesting. You go out nowadays, even families are sitting there looking at their phones. What if you decided, you know what, the Sabbath is the one day I'm going to turn off my phone and I'm going to trust that the world's going to continue to go on without me? Could you rest like that? Could you break the rhythm of having to and the shoulds that so many of us live with moment by moment and day by day? God says, I want you to have a Sabbath where part of that day is set aside for worship and gathering together as the body of Christ, but I want it to be a whole day that encompasses ceasing and resting. How many of you are able to sit still? Or when you sit still, do you start thinking about all the things that you need to accomplish and take care of? And isn't that the way that works for most of us? God says, I want you to have one day a week where you literally embrace being intentional about the day. that you take some time and literally take care on how you do the things that you're going to do. When you begin to stop and think, I need to begin embracing His values, and I want to love God in the details of my life, and I want to love others. And I even maybe want to take the day and learn how to love myself. It's the day that we decide that we're going to embrace relationships, and we're going to give people time. And we're going to give instead of requiring others to serve us and minister to us and take care of us. Doesn't that seem like an amazing day for you? What if you began to live in just a simple fashion and decided that you were going to try to honor God in these first four commandments? It literally says this is God's love language. If you want to know how to walk with Him, you begin to obey Him in the details of your life. The last idea, I think, as you get through Scripture and notice Sabbath is this idea of feasting. It's the one day you're set aside where you have the privilege of feasting on God, and you have the privilege of reflecting and remembering all that He has done. And one of the amazing things, if you were to go to a Jewish home, that they're actually keeping the Sabbath, and it begins on Friday night for them, but the first thing that they do to begin the Sabbath is they have two candles. And they say a prayer. See? Everything's going against this idea of Sabbath. But they light one candle, it reminds them to observe. And the other candle is to remind them to remember. What if you and I, in the very simplest of things, could begin a Saturday night with lighting some candles, or maybe getting up and just lighting two candles on your kitchen table or dining room table, just to remind you that this is a day set aside to observe and remember who your God is. See, I think sometimes we complicate this idea of Sabbath instead of just embracing the symbols that God gives us, so that every time you walk through your house, you notice those two candles there and you think, what's that for? That's to remind me what this day is all about. And it's for me to remember all the things that God has done for me. What if you began to be a people that feast on God and reflect on all that He's done? What if you began to be a people that begin to worship and listen to different types of music and notice the beauty of the day? Do you guys ever get up in the morning? And one of the privileges I get to do Sunday morning is, I'm up usually anyway, but to go out in the dark and sit on that porch and sometimes just watching the sun break through the clouds, it's an amazing way to begin worship. That you are the King of Kings. What if you began to take a few moments on the Sabbath day to actually enjoy the food that you have? And it doesn't have to be fancy. But I don't know about you, but one of the things that all of us have gotten in the habit of doing is just consuming stuff without ever really even chewing it or enjoying it because of the busyness of life. What if we took one day and decided we weren't going to gulp down what was put before us? What if we took one day and we began to show affection to our friends and our family members and notice what was going on in their lives? What if husbands and wives and kids could begin to do that on a regular basis? The Word of God says that we are to be a people that observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as unto the Lord. It's not our day, it's His day. So how will you respond? This is the simplest part of the service. If God's love language is obedience, and He has given us four commands to obey here, and in fact, we're going to learn the other six in the weeks ahead, but if we're called to be a people that show love by following Him and obeying Him and walking the way He's called us to walk, how are you going to respond? And I'm not going to let this become a guilty thing or anything like that, or as you hear these words, I hope you're not thinking legalism, because that's not where I want to go. Will you order your lives God's way? Will you put it into practice? Would you give it a try? Because it seems to me if the Creator and the Designer of all of us says, I have put in their hearts this ability to work for 6 days, but one day they need to stop and cease, what would your life look like if you decided to order your lives that way? What if you just said, for the next month, we're going to test this out and see if God's word is true? Will you order your lives God's way? Will you be intentional on how the hows of keeping the Sabbath? At the very least, could you begin your day recognizing that you are not God, but there is one who has provided for you and taken care of you and heals you and brings you strength in the midst of your circumstances, who never leaves nor forsakes you, that walks with you in every situation that you face? Will you take some moments and observe who God is? Will you let it be a day of joy instead of a day of legalism? Can you fight the culture that tells us that Sunday is just one more day to get the work done? I could have played another song that says Sunday is your fun day. Could it be for the right reasons? Here's something that you've never heard a pastor say. Will you stop coming to church, but start coming into the sanctuary? Would you stop coming to church and begin gathering in the sanctuary to be God's people, to celebrate and honor your Savior, to be nurtured for the week ahead? Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Will you observe and will you remember God's call on you and your family and your friends? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we live in a world that it's Jesus save me, and then we move on with our own agendas and do our own things and keep busy. And Lord, as I listen to that song, it just reminds me over and over again that you can get a glimmer of God, and we treat you like an EMT. We treat you like a bolt-on part, something that is good for us, but we don't want to be too serious about it. And yet you've called us aside to be a people that love you through obedience. And I know as we've talked about these commandments last week and this week, it is a challenge for us to figure out what this looks like in the busyness of our culture. We don't want you to be an add-on or a bolt-on or one more good thing we stockpile, Lord. We want you to be the very center of our hearts and minds and lives this morning. So, Father, I ask that you would allow us to be gripped by your greatness. As we go through this week, would you bring circumstances and situations and give us scenes of beauty and expectations in such a way that we begin to understand that you truly are the King of Kings? Would you move in such a way that we begin to take you a whole lot more seriously and take ourselves a whole more casually? That you can be the center and we can have life in the midst of that. That is unquenchable. And Father, I ask that you would just minister to us today. As we go out, may you allow us to enjoy the rest of the Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen.